This is the Pew Talk America Radio Network.
Oh my gosh, I'm almost exhausted, but we've got another hour to do, and I know you want it. I know you want it. You want to hear it. You want to experience it. It's what we do. It's Tuesday night. Hi, everybody. It's the show on Pew Talk America.
You want it.
We just date raped our audience.
Yeah, you want it.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag you, too.
I know you want it.
I know you do.
Jenny, I know you want it.
Annette wants it. Jenny wants it. Harrison wanted it, but
Harrison,
then she went to bed.
She wanted it.
And she left.
I don't think she ran.
I
don't think my mom wants it. She's still in the chat room.
We gotta stop right now.
Nero may want it. I'm not sure.
Hashtag Obama wants it.
Yeah, well,
Thanks, Obama.
We're going to attempt to get through entertainment because it's going to be a collaborative effort between everybody in the studio because Al Perkins is asleep somewhere on the East Coast. So
passed out.
Welcome back. It's hour three and entertainment.
I've got three things I haven't really read, so we're going to go through them together.
Like
number
it.
One. The Conners are moving back into your TV schedule this October.
Wow.
ABC has announced the Roseanne spinoff. Is it really a spinoff when you just kicked one person out?
You evicted them.
We'll see. I guess we'll find out in October.
That's an interesting question.
Well, their official premiere date is October 16th, launching with the rest of their fall series. The Conners will debut Tuesday, October 16th at the 8 p.m. time slot, serving as an opening act for the premieres of three other family comedies and new series, The Kids Are All Right. Okay. Returning amazing show that everyone should watch all the time, Blackish.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
So good.
And season two of Splitting Up Together. There's your Tuesday night on ABC and or Hulu,
right,
which is how I get there. That scrolled really fast.
Read slower.
Apparently, there's also a cop drama called The Rookie, which is anchoring those Tuesday nights and will also premiere on that same date.
Sure.
The launch of The Conners will come months after ABC made the decision to yank its top performing Roseanne reboot after Roseanne basically lost her mind. The Conners, a spinoff that will not feature Roseanne Barr and will center on the rest of the family, was announced in June. Roseanne will have no financial or creative involvement in the new series, according to ABC. And the network will likely face a lot of questions about its decision in 2 weeks when it presents its fall lineup at the Television Critics Association press tour in Beverly Hills.
It's gonna be very.
You all have your tickets.
Yep.
Very interesting to see how they're gonna work this.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
I'm just assuming she died at knee surgery because that was the big thing was she needed knee surgery.
Are they gonna kill her or she just goes away?
I don't know. I watched none of the season. That's and I'm curious don't about anticipate that. Watching.
I watched.
The Conners
no, I watched. Well, no, I understand. I watched them all, but the big thing was she needed a knee replacement, and they were going into where she was actually shopping drugs from everywhere. So they were going for an arc of this drug addiction with Roseanne.
Oh, you know, the laser focus that we've had on the opioid. I'm glad you were.
We have our finger on the pulse.
See, this is what happens when you sit across from Al Perkins for 4 years and become Al in his absence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad you were on that and on the heroin desk in Al's absence.
Yep. Well done.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't either.
I probably won't watch it. I
feel conflicted about this. So on one side, you know, I think a lot of people that don't know the industry or follow know that there's like sometimes like 150 people that work on a show. And that was the big thing when ABC canceled it. Then they were saying, you know, she should feel bad about it. And she did say, Roseanne did say she felt bad about it, that you know, all those people are out of a job. Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. That's not important to me. But of all of that, of her excuses, is not my point. But my point is that so all those people are out of a job. So ABC, on one hand, could be doing the right thing, right, to keep the show going. Not just the actors, but all the people you don't see behind the scenes that make shows happen. But then the other part of me, and this isn't just Roseanne, and I don't know, I guess I'm probably going to be the Grinch again, and people aren't going to like this. I don't like all of this rebooting of these shows. Mm. Will and Grace, who's the one? Murphy Brown, that's
coming
next.
Back.
Roseanne.
Yeah.
And
Magnum P.I.
And I'll tell
Magnum
you why I don't like it.
I didn't hear that.
They're all coming back, and they have to be all political. I don't need to get my politics from Will and Grace. You know, and it was like I was so nauseated when I saw like Deborah Messing, and she was talking. And she's great. She's a nice person, but and talented, but she was like, we had to come back because we felt we had a responsibility to respond to what's happening. What the fuck are you talking about? It's Will and Grace. Like, that's not like the show itself was revolutionary in what it, in what it dealt with homosexuality and acceptance.
It's a gay show.
I don't need Deborah
what I'm understanding
to like be bringing
who's
anyway.
A geisha?
So
I'm a gay show about geishas?
I'm curious what you think about that aspect of it.
I don't like it.
Oh, and anyone that gives Laurie Metcalf a job, I'm in because
yeah,
I love her.
I agree.
And she's the greatest thing that ever happened on that show.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm just kind of okay if it didn't happen because I don't like the reboots.
Well, it's like Top Gun.
Think of a new idea.
Back. There's Charlie's
only yeah, right. There's only 500 things. Platforms now for television to be out there between streaming, right. You know, basic cable, all of the different Amazon, Netflix. Just make a new show. Why do we need those to come back? So,
but I think it's a little hypocritical to kind of go after like the example of Deborah Messing in her wanting to use her platform. You know what I mean? Like, we spend a lot of time, especially in the gay community, like, trouncing celebrities that didn't come out when it was useful, right? Like, where were you? You had this platform. You could have spoken for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hypocritical and unfair to be like, oh, but Deborah Messing, I don't really care to hear what you have to say on your pedestal, on your topic.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I,
like, if you've got,
okay.
if you have...
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
I don't have any problem with what Deborah Messing has to say about anything.
Right.
I don't think they need to bring that entire show back.
But if that group of people felt like they had something that they wanted to say to their audience, like, come on back.
Okay.
I say do it.
And if you can make funny when you're doing it, then I'm really
better if it's funny and Megan Mullally's in. Sold.
She's why I watch it anyway.
But I think
she's why everyone watches it.
Right.
But I think it's been smart.
I get it. I don't know. Is that bad that I said that?
Well, one thing that I heard, one thing they were making an analysis about in regards to something like Magnum P.I. coming back. It's not, there's no mustache.
Yeah.
He's driving the same car. He's a rich, you know, P.I. who lives in Hawaii, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But the difference is, they're making it with current technology. And what I mean by that is, in Magnum P.I. in the 80s, he had no cell phone. He had there was a lot of different things that would have happened in the 80s version that can't happen in the new version.
Right.
I almost said 90s version. Yeah. In the new version. So they were saying...
Way to make it to the right decade.
So what they were saying was that they're coming back. The baseline storyline premise is the same, but because we're 30 years further in... You know, that's 30 years ago. So now they can deal with different things now.
Yeah.
That were never an issue before.
Yeah. But politics were an issue.
Like if you brought back All in the Family. All in the Family was a very political show.
But Will and Grace wasn't. Like,
no, they were always.
I'm sorry. Well, All in the Family was like, those people existed. And maybe Will and Grace do, but Karen and Jack are cartoon characters, and they always have been. Nothing that's happening in their lives is actually really – is very realistic, which is one of my criticisms of that show all along. I thought it tried to be two shows. The Will and Grace storylines are really compelling, and I thought that's really interesting. You know, the comic relief with Karen and Jack, like, give them a show. Like, they're the cartoon characters that are not believable. And when you try to weave that together, I always thought that was a problem. I guess I just don't like the show very much, but it was just a problem with the show. And so now, what it was. And now it's going to come back and it's going to tell us politically. I don't know. There's something about that.
That's the magic of television. Like, is weaving that imaginary in with the real. Like, that's what the magic of TV and movies has always been. Is that real and imaginary coming together?
I can go with that.
Otherwise, I'm just looking out the window watching the miserable sons of bitches next door.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's why I don't like reality television.
But there's a lot of shit about that. But All in the Family didn't do that, or I don't think. Like,
no,
I mean,
because they added funny
I don't
to
know.
It.
I guess it's not.
I mean,
it's not that important, really. But.
Yeah.
And I beg to differ with you on the situation between a Will and Grace character and a Jack and Karen. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that in Manhattan there's not some drunk socialite who really just mooches off of her husband and we never see drinks all the time.
No.
A pet gay who just run around and you can't tell me that doesn't exist.
And they touch tummies.
But they heighten
parenthetically based on real events.
They take heightened reality with those two characters to a really big extreme where they don't with Will and Grace. They were always grounded in like Jack never having a job and Jack, you know. It's just like, oh please. Like, it just to me, I couldn't. I was like, I couldn't really relate to that very well. Where Will and Grace seem to be really grounded in, like, that looks like people I would know. And I get it. I know what you're saying. They're doing a caricature of those women in, you know. No. But some of the situations they did, they were just like it was like watching like Bugs Bunny or not, but
because Bugs Bunny's Bunny. Hilarious. And so
yeah.
Right.
So, not a reboot. FX is going for its next limited series.
Uh-huh. Nice.
The cable network has greenlighted the Fosse Verdon.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. An 8-episode project from Hamilton's Lin-Manuel Miranda, starring Oscar winner Sam Rockwell and 4-time Academy Award nominee Michelle Williams. The series marks a major swing for FX after the cable network's top producer Ryan Murphy exited his overall deal with the corporate sibling 20th Century Fox. We don't care about that. Based on Sam Wasson's Fosse biography, the project tells the story of the romantic and creative partnership between Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon. He was a filmmaker and one of theater's most influential choreographers and directors. She was the greatest Broadway dancer of all time. Together, they changed the face of American entertainment at perilous cost.
Perilous.
I don't know the story. I'm very excited to see this. The series will feature Fosse's choreography and explore the hidden corners of showbiz, the price of pursuing greatness, and the suffering inflicted in the name of art. That's very exciting. Let me see if I can find...
I think Sam Rockwell will be amazing.
Choreography will be done in frame and will be no more than stuff like this. Because all Fosse is very small, subtle, quick movements. I'll watch it. I'll watch anything like that.
Absolutely. No, listen, FX and their limited series, like, hit it. I'm in. I can't see a release date, so it looks like they just greenlit the project, so we don't have a release date just yet, so keep your ear to the ground for
what us. Is it called, by the way?
Fosse/Verdon.
Fosse Verdon. I was going to see if I could just find any kind of a still for it. I'm just curious.
Yeah, they don't even have any. I don't know if they filmed or anything. Then it goes on to talk about the people and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Fosse Verdon joins a roster of FX programming, including Pose, which everyone keeps telling me I need to see, Taboo, Legion, Snowfall, Trust, American Horror Story, Fargo, American Crime Story, Feud. Like, the list just goes on and on of cool things that they've done. So
nice.
I feel good about that.
And what an interesting thing, because Sam Rockwell obviously made a very big splash this past year in Billboards Outside of What's in Missouri, that movie.
Yeah. And he gained billboards outside something.
Right, whatever that was. But it was a great movie, the Billboard
movie. Three Billboards.
Was it Three Billboards? But if I'm not mistaken, he gained weight for that character, like, and wanted that. So very different for him to come back now and play Fosse, who was a much thinner man. It's interesting that the breadth of characters that Sam Rockwell can play.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's fantastic.
Anant was asking just very quickly if anyone has watched Vicious.
Have not, no.
Have you guys heard of it?
I don't know what it is.
Ian McKellen and Derek Jacobi had the cast of a studio sitcom centered around aging partners Freddie and Stuart, who have lived together in London in a London flat for close to 50 years.
Aww.
Having survived a time when being a gay couple was harshly frowned upon, they have learned to keep the outside world at bay. And their lives now consist of reading books, walking their dog, and most of all, bickering at each other.
So they're a married couple.
So they put a camera in, you know, when I'm over at Aaron's. But anyway, it's a British sitcom, it says. So I'm not sure where that would be to find it.
BBC One or Two.
Yeah,
or three.
No, but
they have
three.
Yeah, I was just trying to find where it might be. Anyway, so that's what, and no, I have not. PBS. It's actually PBS, I believe.
Oh.
Good to know.
Never Can Say Goodbye, Love. Is the theme song, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
A little tidbit.
While we're recommending television shows, I have found that just today, the New York Times has released a list of 9 recent Netflix original series that they say are worth your time.
Oh,
I'd like to present them to you now.
Thank you. I'll see what I... Okay, go ahead.
Yep, go ahead.
First on the list, Evil Genius, the true story of America's most diabolical bank heist.
Actually, that sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Netflix keeps trying to force feed that to me, but clearly I'm stuck watching old episodes of New Girl and Madam Secretary, so I can't be bothered. Mm-hmm, but for those that might be interested, it says in 2003, a pizza delivery man named Brian Wells was caught robbing a bank in Erie, Pennsylvania. He told police that an assailant had locked a bomb to his neck and forced him to perform the heist. Mm-hmm. Then the device went off, killing Wells before he could reveal more details. The case was bizarre enough to make national news and capture the imagination of Trey Borzarelli.
Yeah, we had talked about that because it was just kind of briefly. Yeah. It was like they show the bomb going off.
That's around. Crazy.
This guy was like begging. Mm-hmm. He's like, this thing is ticking. Like, it's going to go off. And they thought he might be involved. There was all kinds of stuff.
And then it went off.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And he was still, I believe, still alive.
I don't know. Gross.
There was something where he was still alive or like half his, I don't know.
You know how to find out what happened?
Fucking crazy.
Watch the series.
Go on Netflix and watch it.
My God, solved a problem.
Watching it. Yep.
That's what I'm here to do.
There's a way.
Solve problems. Also on Netflix, a series called The Staircase. Before Serial, The Jinx, and Making a Murderer, there was The Staircase. I actually started watching this and just kind of like didn't care for the style, but was really sucked into the story. Cause it's about this dude and like his wife falls down the stairs and dies, and then there's this whole investigation about did he do something, and it's just a little nutty. Yeah,
wife dies.
It's funny though, Kat. Like that was the only thing like it at all that was going on, and people weren't focused on it.
Yeah.
But now that we have this, the new, because of Serial, if that came out now, people would be like freaking out about, oh my God, have you seen The Staircase?
And the true crime people would be all over it.
But when it was, because I remember I would see it, was it on PBS? Or
what's that, The Staircase?
Or cable. I remember because I'd always click on it and be like, what is this thing?
Well, now it's an original series on Netflix, so I don't know what else has been out there about it.
Oh, it was a documentary.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
It's called The Staircase. It's on Netflix. It's about a real thing that happened.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a documentary called The Staircase that was that story that was the original thing.
And it may be a follow-up.
Yeah, so this is now trying to capitalize on that. Yeah, they ran it on Dateline. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
Again, I've added none of these stories.
The yeah. Second wife fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
One like in Ireland.
Wait, there was a second one that fell down the stairs? I didn't watch that much.
If you watch the whole thing, it gives it away.
Two episodes. And then
he needs to buy one-story houses.
Single he needs story. To quit pushing the women but down
when,
the stairs.
But when
well,
that
no,
was
I
on,
get back into that.
People were really, you know, the people that followed it were really riveted by it. And it's just interesting to see now that we've moved in. So, of course, Netflix, and that's a good thing, that someone should go back and revisit that.
Yeah,
well,
it really
for sure.
Is interesting.
Next on your list, The Break with Michelle Wolf. If you don't remember who Michelle Wolf is, she's the smoky eye girl from the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Fucking funny.
Her special,
what a
nice
great
lady is so good.
I can't even do her voice. She's got a very
distinctive,
nasally kind of a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Fran Drescher.
No.
It's just a different. Yeah. Okay. What's it called again?
Funny.
It's called The Break with
the
Michelle
Break.
Wolf.
Okay.
And although comedy news isn't exactly in short supply these days, because we've got Colbert and we've got Trevor Noah and what's his bucket on HBO, John Oliver.
Yep.
Michelle Wolf's half-hour episodes distinguish themselves with surreal commercial parodies, funny guests, and, of course, Wolf's extreme irreverence. Even fellow comics are fair game. So that's found on Netflix. And I think they're, like, chucking a new episode at you weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's up to date and recent. Next on our list.
That's exactly right, Jenny. It's a cartoon voice, but it's a real voice. You're correct.
Right, but that's like her actual voice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Next on the list, Agretsuko Gazuntai, season one. The Japanese company behind Hello Kitty has stopped being polite and started getting real. Its latest cartoon creation is Retsuko the Red Panda, a 25-year-old office worker whose gender and entry-level position make her professional life a walking nightmare. This sounds uplifting.
Right?
She channels her daily frustrations into death metal karaoke.
Oh!
A pastime perfectly suited to the hyperbolic medium of anime.
In pandas?
In pandas. I don't know.
And heavy metal.
It's not
death metal. Excuse me.
It
says this isn't the most substantive show.
Shocking.
One could accuse it of being basically a one-note GIF generator conceived to attract angsty millennials.
Sure.
But that hardly matters when its episodes are only 15 minutes long And that single note sounds like beautiful catharsis. Don't have a lot of time?
Right? Apparently.
Agritsuko.
Yep. Got a short attention span?
I feel like this is a David Letterman segment at this point.
God.
Next, The Rain, Season 1. It's a Scandinavian television show, best known stateside for its cerebral noir and sober political procedures. But this Danish language series, so if you're into subtitles, mm-mm, this one's here.
Yeah, you know me. I want to read it. Al would kill me.
I'll kill you.
I know you will, too, but Al, every week.
You don't read subtitles, by the way. Whatever. They just go, you see them and they go into your brain. That's how your brain works.
Set in a post-apocalyptic world where rain kills every person it touches, the show follows Simone Anderson and her little brother, Rasmus, who have spent 6 years alone in an underground bunker after the disappearance of their scientist father. When the siblings join a group of other young survivors, flashbacks slowly reveal the characters' backstories. Romances are syrupy, the dialogue is hammy, and the plot holes too numerous to count.
Now I'm hungry.
I can't wait to see it.
I have soup and ham, and I'm hungry.
Would you like to go make a plate?
I feel like the story's going to end with da 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 da.
It sure can.
Hammy and soupy and...
Yeah, right. Sales.
Yeah. All these can be found on Netflix today. Next up, show called Safe. Let's get this out of the way. Safe follows a British widower named Tom Delaney. And as critics in Britain have noted in bemusement, the actor who plays him, Michael C. Hall, doesn't do a very convincing English accent. So if you like shitty fake accents... Go watch Safe.
Or listen to this show. Watch that show.
Next on the list, Glow Season 2. I wasn't particularly moved by Glow.
I couldn't get there.
I haven't seen it, but it's getting a big following.
It is getting kind of a big following. It's about the real life women of wrestling from the 80s.
Gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Gorgeous ladies of wrestling, that's right. Mm-hmm. And the first season is very much all about its origins and you know what I mean, like the gathering of the characters, mm-hmm, and I watched some of it for a little while. But season two picks up where it left off with season one, as you might expect.
Yeah, you think, one after the other.
What a shocker.
That's great.
Do it that way.
You know that Netflix, they're on the edge of television
yes,
programming.
They are. I know, let's just continue the story. Oh my God!
No, I know right where it left off.
Just keep going.
Off. Yes.
Right. Speaking of sequels, Queer Eye season two. Presumably.
Yeah.
Picking up where the last one left off.
More queer, more eye.
Five gay style experts who upgrade a hapless heterosexual, proving that they could make useful friends for straight men.
Sure.
15 years later, Netflix's reboot could have been a retrograde mess, but the key to its success is its shortened title.
Sure.
Right.
That's what was holding it back.
Just the title.
Three more words.
For the straight guy. Four more words.
Four more words.
just the tip.
Oh, I'm so disappointed that this one's on here, because let me tell you.
What?
The last one on the list is Nailed It.
Oh, no.
What a ridiculous waste of a half an hour. Kay. I mean, I laughed the whole time, so Nailed It.
Oh, but you laughed the whole time.
Yeah, okay. It was hilarious, but I'm never watching it again, because, oh my God, the host is annoying.
Okay.
The premise is a little bit funny, but then the host is annoying. So Nailed It... It's basically Pinterest fails as you watch, right? So they take their contestants and they show them like these cake pops or this whatever,
right.
And then they have the professionals that actually do this beautifully. They're watching,
I love it. Then
they say, "Okay, go," and you watch bumbling idiots try and make like beautiful pastry things.
For some reason,
and you can't go wrong with the two that Amy Poehler, it's horrible.
Yeah. I didn't think that I knew what you were talking about, and then as you were talking in my Facebook feed, just so interesting what comes in from all the things you like or whatever.
Because your phone listens to you.
Oh my God, it totally does. Did we talk about that last week? That fucking freaked me out. Okay.
It's just a thing that happens. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Wow. I don't know. Was that aimed
at me
not talking about anything anymore?
And by the way,
or not talking about Will and Grace anymore.
These are on and we're on the interwebs.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It felt malicious.
No, I guess. I'm just naturally kind of a bitch. It just kind of
It happens all the time to me.
It's becoming clearer every minute.
It happens all the time.
God, we got to get you back to work.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, it happened before work. It doesn't.
Yeah, but at least it tempers it a little bit.
Right.
Well, because I have more victims, is what it is. Right.
We don't get all of it.
Yeah.
I get to say mean shit to drunk people that don't know any better.
That's right.
They think I'm flirting with them. I'm just being an asshole.
I guess I fit a profile drunk on wine.
Just drinking coffee, lesbian. No, doesn't matter.
So when
look, I'm.
Oh, Jesus.
It's all good.
You were saying, sir, or ma'am.
On my feed, my Facebook feed, I'm like, what is, you know, I was pushing some show or whatever. And they did that, the picture of that thing. And I was like, the fuck are these people doing with these awful, like, cakes? And I'm like, oh, God, what is it? So I clicked on it, and I had that same – I'm like, this is – we've reached some sort of new low of the abyss. I'm like – and it had the little what's it about? And I was like, why would anybody even want to watch that? It just sounded horrible from the get-go.
I think it takes your mind out from – God knows anything.
Awful. Well, that's why I watch South Park.
I'm with Kat on this one.
Yes. No, I totally agree. And whether it's that or my uncle to this day, that whole This Old House kind of stuff. Like
my mom used to watch that all the time.
Any of those things or
This Old House, and what was the other one with the woodworker guy that was right after it, that he was always he was always building dovetails.
Oh my God, you're so right.
He was always dovetailing.
Every joint was a fucking dovetail.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, I remember. It's like This Old Workshop or some bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
He probably had it on
something Yankee time. Workshop.
Oh my God, you're correct.
New Yankee Workshop.
I think it's the New Yankee Workshop.
Wow. Yeah, because that.
I feel like his name was like Al, or he reminded me of the bearded guy on Tool Time.
Well, that's Al Borland.
Which is where it was inspired from anyway.
I think you're right. Yeah, it's the
New Yankee Workshop. His name is Norm Abram.
Norm Abram!
Yes! I remember that name.
Because everything was DuckTales.
God damn it, it was.
But I think it just gets you away from this kind of weird shit that's going on.
Well, and
whatever
you
have to do to distract yourself, by all means, watch whatever trash television you want.
I wonder now, we were talking about like the themes that emerge. I wonder if more television like this is going to come out, given the stress of the
Look at what they have now. The
world,
stuff as far
you know?
As the coming back stuff that you were talking about. They brought back the Gong Show.
I wonder if that's like to make you feel better.
But take you back to a day when it was a little different, when there are only Iranian hostages, like where you could look up. And
no, I totally get it. I wonder if that is all like comfort food now.
Absolutely.
We need our ways to feel.
Kat, this is just for you.
There he is.
Norm Abram, ladies and gentlemen.
I remember that face, nice that name, but I don't remember watching.
Wow.
Oh, I do.
Oh yeah, that was
Clayton. That's right up
Sunday
your alley.
Morning television.
Actually, I've never been a good woodworker. I've never been good in that. I'm more of the mechanical, not the wood stuff, because my grandfather used to do a lot of that. And I was never able to do it.
Yeah.
I would watch it just to see it, but I was more interested in This Old House stuff when they were, you know, ripping out something, doing some, putting something new in. Let's install a garage door opener. Whatever bullshit.
Yeah. Well, they did all kinds of stuff like that.
I found a lot more practical use for things on that show because, you know, guttering issues or a plumbing issue or whatever. I was more able to apply that. I wasn't building chest of drawers and, you know, bookends.
Sure.
But I remember fucking Norm Abrams. That's so funny.
Oh my God, Jenny, love it. She wants to wear a tool belt. You can get them at any
you can
Ace Hardware.
Go right ahead. I actually have two, and I don't wear either one of them because I don't like them.
Yeah. I have one. They don't have extenders.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't
if you're going to get one, get one on with the holster for your cordless drill, though, because that's really kind of cool.
Handy.
Just to play Wild West
the
with
only
it.
Thing that I have found to be a need is the thing that goes around your arm for the metal stuff. The little magnet that you can wear like as a little wrist thing. That's fucking handy.
That's
cool
as shit.
No, I agree. Yeah. It is.
Except for when you pick up the hammer and then you hurt yourself. Okay. But other than that,
I don't think it's that
maybe
much
it's
of a draw.
Dramatic.
Yeah, that was dramatic. I agree with that.
You don't know. You don't know. It's real.
I've done projects with you. I know.
Yeah, I just hit myself in the head with a hammer. It has nothing to do with wearing a magnet.
Jenny says, all I ever need is a screwdriver or a hammer.
Yeah, see? That a girl. Oh, girl.
All right.
We're not sure if she's still talking about woodworking.
Who knows?
Or this old hat. We're not sure.
No. Was there something else, entertainment-wise, you were going to jump in and add or no? Was there something you want?
I'm not going to talk about entertainment anymore.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Ever again in my life.
Have I hurt your feelings?
A little, yeah.
Do you have... Sad.
But
you...
I was trying to analyze in my head. Like, I think I had a really big, strong reaction to Will and Grace. And then I think Kat had a big, really strong reaction to what I said about it. So I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings if you love that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's.
I've literally forgotten about 88% of what we even said. So.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Right.
You so and I hang on to things.
I'm going to...
Oh, I do.
She doesn't.
I'm going to guess you don't necessarily have anything for your two things segment. So
I can probably talk about something, but we can skip it.
We can skip it.
Yeah.
Because... You never remember we had this segment anyway.
But it's her segment.
It's got a catchy song. Right,
but it does have it really is damn good. Original material. Now, what I was going to ask, because nobody's brought this up, I just found out about this yesterday. This is a California law that just got passed, and it was one of those things similar to what your story was, mm-hmm. where it was something buried in another bill, and yeah. everybody freaked out because nobody read the bill, and then it got passed. Right. It's a new law in California that I guess I believe it's already it's already in place. I believe so. The deal is if you commit a crime, no matter what the crime is, you commit a crime and you can get a doctor to sign off and say that you committed that crime because of a mental illness, you are then put into a 2-year rehabilitation program. If then you are deemed to be healed, charges never come to you. You are released back into the wild, and everything's over with.
Okay.
What the fuck is that about?
I did hear about this.
Okay. So I don't know what I don't remember what it's called. I looked it up briefly last night. They're already like looking to repeal
what
portions.
What constitutes mental illness, according to? And I don't mean to be ignorant.
I don't know how. I haven't read the whole law, but it's like if you get a doctor to actually say you committed X crime based on a mental illness.
But that's the issue right there. So there is. It just kind of reminds me of that thing when you were talking about the Republicans and the adoption. The way you're phrasing that is if you can get someone, that's the abusers of it. But the initial legislation, I believe, if I saw this story right, was that there are people who have mental illness issues.
Agreed,
so it's not an issue of like, well, I'm just going to get a doctor to say there are some that do have it.
No, but that's the loophole, I'm sure.
That is. Yeah. But that, okay. So, but the loophole isn't maybe, so fix that.
Sure, absolutely.
Don't not
I
have
agree.
The thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the argument is, because California is overcrowding prisons, is that we don't need to be putting people in jails and prisons that have mental health issues, with which I would agree.
I can agree
but,
with that.
But it could be, it'll get, it could be, well, it it's like the it's like the medical marijuana thing, right? Anyone can go get, right? People abuse things,
right,
is I think
right,
what
right.
you're saying is, you just go get somebody to say it. To say, well, I have a, I'm a kleptomaniac, and so I can, I don't have, I can still, but I have a mental health issue. But I think it's this, what gets lost in it is that people really do have mental health issues, and I don't know that jail is the best place for that.
And Jenny, I don't know that it includes nonviolent crimes.
Nonviolent crimes.
No. Right. I don't believe, I think it's any crime at this point. And that's what freaked them out because nobody read through the whole bill and it got pushed
through.
Well,
that's a problem.
Right. Which I don't like either. I'm sure it would take a lot longer. I don't like it when they piggyback shit.
Yeah.
I would prefer everything be a line item.
Oh, me?
Yep.
I would
from your mouth to
everything
God's
be a
ears.
Line item.
Okay, so
I agree
the,
completely.
Go ahead, Kat.
The law is Assembly Bill 1810. And it includes a provision that appears to allow defendants charged with any crime to get charges put on hold and perhaps eventually dismissed if they can persuade a judge that the offense resulted... So you still have to deal with a judge. That the offense resulted from a mental disorder or that a mental health expert says it's treatable. Okay, so you have to convince a judge...
And you said it's put
that
on
I have a problem.
Hold.
Right. Continuing on, a case can be made that a defendant's mental illness should be considered by prosecutors and judges. It's certainly relevant. Mm-hmm. There's a Senate Bill 215.
Thank you. Dash.
Numbers are hard.
Depends on the
is
day.
Now before California State Legislature and would have allowed this in defined limited circumstances, but instead of vetoing the Assembly Bill 1810 and letting this debate proceed, the governor, Jerry Brown, short-circuited it. He did so despite being warned by San Diego County Attorney Summer Steffen that this is the most irresponsible... According to the district attorney, she says this is the most irresponsible legislation our state has ever seen, and that it would wreak havoc in our criminal justice system. In Los Angeles County, their district attorney blasted the maneuvering that led to the new law as a scandalous abuse of legislative process, blah, blah, blah. So, it like, good intentions gone bad, it sounds like.
Right. Well, and as Jenny has appeared, like, the nonviolent crimes, smoking in a non-smoking area, peeing in public, sleeping in the park, and they face trial once they're able to defend themselves.
Which we have
themselves.
A terrible habit, by the way, I'm going to jump in here, on in wanting incarceration to be the the
answer.
And often when they, for those low-level, misdemeanor-level things like that, there's also another way around to this that's rather problematic, which is that, well, we'll just, there's a fine. Okay. Well, fines are fine when you're rich.
Yeah.
And it essentially makes, if sleeping in the park or whatever it is, which are often homeless crimes, but there's other ones that aren't. If you can afford it, then you don't have to get justice. And if you can't, then you'll go to jail. But the jail doesn't solve the problem of the initial thing. Yeah. It rarely does. Incarceration rarely solves the presenting issue. So I get that. I get the thought process, the good intention behind mental illness. And it probably needs some work, though.
Yeah, well, California apparently has been a little ham-handed in their criminal justice reform for quite some time. In 2014, voters approved a ballot proposition, it was Prop 47, which reclassified several nonviolent felonies as misdemeanors, which you think, oh, good. You know what I mean? Not everything needs to be a felony. But in kind of a ham-handed way that didn't make crucial distinctions. Few people, for instance, would think that possession of a date rape drug should be seen as a minor offense. But now it's been declassified to a misdemeanor.
Right. Wow.
I know. Somebody should have told Cosby.
Right. Yeah, well, maybe it's how many times you use it.
On people.
Right.
Right.
If it was just once or twice, different. Right. But 37 people are going to accuse you. Maybe there's a problem.
The Los Angeles Times analyzed the proposition and found that the law had emboldened repeat offenders, especially drug addicts who steal to pay for their habits, because now they're just repeatedly misdemeanor. No consequence. Just keep fucking doing it. You go, you just slap it, you serve your 30 days, and on you go. But then they went on with Prop 57 in 2016, and now that law made it easier for nonviolent felons to earn parole. And again, the authors forgot to add details using an existing overbroad list of nonviolent crimes that included rape of an unconscious person, violent child abuse. Yeah. The worst fears about Prop 57 were confirmed in February when a state judge ruled that the state could not retroactively rewrite the measure in a way that denied possible early release of thousands of violent sex offenders. So California, not a
wow,
not the utopian society.
Now, Jenny's saying up there, like Jeffrey Dahmer types, and clearly mental
would not go through.
Now she says they would not go through with the doctor's note. Now is that from where you are, Jenny? Or are you talking about in reference to this specific law? But I would hope to God that they're saying you know, get a note from a doctor if they can fix them. Now, who's going to determine if somebody like Dahmer is fixed?
Yeah.
And maybe he doesn't commit another crime and do something like he did for 5-10 years. But when he does it again,
who's
then
determining,
what?
Though, that people, you know, are
mentally ill?
And just locked. So the answer seems awfully simplistic. Put them all in jail. Well, California tried that, and now they're overflowing. Right. And I'm sorry. I'm just continue to alienate myself from everyone here. But I do know a little bit about the topic. You know,
but if you kill
putting
a bunch
everybody
of people,
in, okay, so federal prisons are full of people, and Arizona and state prisons too, but less so, who have not committed violent crimes.
Sure, agreed. Absolutely.
And our answer to everything with low level charges is throw them in. There is a problem, as Kat's pointing out, which is really good, that what we call low level is a problem, because I didn't know that about the rohypnol thing. That's terrible. So fix the legislation. My fear is that when people read this, they're like, see, those fucking liberals, we just have to stop it and throw everyone in jail. Well, we've tried that for the last 40 years, and now our country suffers from mass incarceration and the highest level of incarceration in the world. And it's because nonviolent people are in prison, and it didn't. By the way, that's not this little experiment. It didn't used to be that way. If you go back to the 60s and 70s, it was the opposite. 70% of people in prison had committed violent crimes, and less than 20 to 30% have. We have it's an easy way to remember. We have flip flopped that now, and that's a problem, and it's a very expensive problem.
Well, and the expense to it as well, I would think, is that you have these folks going in that have not committed.
They got caught with pot on them.
Yes. Right. Thank you, Clayton. That's who's in jail right now.
And they shouldn't be.
Right.
And they get in there and learn from someone.
But they come out worse.
They come out worse.
Better criminals, right?
That happens in Arizona especially. They find my friend Jeff Taylor, who used to be is still the community liaison for the agency I used to work for, is former convicted felon and recovered cocaine addict. And I think I talked about him here before. And he said a phrase that I always love: you cannot incarcerate the addiction out of anyone.
Sure.
And that's true. And
you know, get better drugs in prison.
He
anyway,
said that when he was in prison, the short time he was there, he met the network of higher level drug dealers and came out more informed and more criminalized.
Sure.
So I'm not an anti-prison advocate at all. Prisons have their place. I'm glad we have them. We need to put violent people in them until we can figure all that out. But we've gone seriously off track.
And it's all because of money.
This legislation is poorly – that's horrible.
It's poorly
we should
written.
Not be letting violent child offenders – is that what it said?
No, right.
Child abuse offenders?
Yeah.
No, we shouldn't. But I get nervous – uh-huh. About, you know, and California's overflowing. A lot of people don't know this. They had their court level ruling that they had to release people from the prisons because California can no longer afford, it's over $70,000 a year, more than a year at Harvard, to pay for incarcerated individuals in California.
But isn't that the issue? I mean, it's all about the privatization of prisons.
It's going to be the issue.
Money.
It's an issue here in Arizona if you have kids and the school you send your kids to is going to want you to have 58 kids in the room instead of 28.
Oh, absolutely.
But the prison budget gets a raise.
Yeah.
When 2008, when the whole economy went to shit in Arizona, and we had a $3 billion deficit, I don't know if you remember that, and we all went after the money, and they pulled it out of education, remember? And they said, we're going to make the class sizes bigger.
Yep.
The only government agency that got a raise that time was the prisons, ADC, Arizona Department of Corrections, got $980 million. Okay. So, it tells me a lot.
Yeah.
So it's disturbing.
And they had a lot of those signs out at the Red for Ed movement. Like people were bringing their kids dressed up in like little outfits.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And hold, I have a couple pictures I can show you. And holding signs saying an inmate is worth.
Yeah.
I am worth. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Oh,
and
I didn't
and it
see
was
that.
It was
wow.
Disturbing, not because they were doing that for their kid, but it was a statement.
Yeah,
it was
sure.
a fucking statement. But that doesn't get heard because that the same people that are voting for the Red for Ed stuff are the ones that are making the money off of the charter schools or off of the prisons or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, whatever. We're not going to change anything.
Sure,
we're not going to change anything. We got money in this.
Yeah,
so we're not going to vote against ourselves. No, no. It's pretty crazy.
But it is disturbing. It's just, you know, the devil's in the details, right? Those complexities. You know, I knew that, like, even when they passed the medical marijuana here and they're like, and you can get it. And I thought, well, there'll be people, script writers will happen in the first 10 minutes. Yeah. And it did. And so we have that. And people, that's another one. They'll tell you, I went and got my card.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have clients that tell me that. And I'm like, what's your condition? Yeah. My head hurts.
Glaucoma.
Anxiety. I would go with anxiety.
So that kind of sucks in this world
and
that really good
that
things,
actually have glaucoma,
like what you're talking about,
have anxiety that it can help.
Get abused.
That's what drives me nuts.
It's not like we're short on weed, though. Like, let everybody get their damn card. Who cares?
Well
right. Make it
legal. Just legalize it.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the way to
but
go.
I think you're 100% right.
Make them lie for it.
Yeah.
I still don't care.
Yeah.
But just legalize
it. Hidden in there.
Yeah, I don't like that shit. I don't like, they're called writers. I don't like
writers
and bills.
Yeah. Well, and that's where you said that whole line item, all of that. I don't like that legislation that's thrown together.
Yeah.
You know, and then even
sleight of hand.
Even Republicans and Democrats, you know, yep. one I like better. But, you know, we'll get, right. you know, the poop, you know, flung at them. Oh, okay, this goes back to the misleading headlines. Mm-hmm. Well, they voted no on the bill. And it's like, the, you know, the wonderful, you know, they killed Christmas bill or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the people will say, no, I voted no because they stuck all this right. other shit
right.
in there.
But they never hear that.
Yeah, right.
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 Nobody it could be the best thing that. For children ever, ever, yeah, ever in the universe right. of all children. But there's something that, right. you know.
But a we pedophile get to, is the right. one who gets to babysit them.
Right. Yeah. So you said no for the bill. Like, well,
thanks, Obama.
Yeah. Right. Hashtag thanks, Obama.
No, that's, you're way right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's I don't like that writer bullshit. I want everything to be line itemed out. Let's debate it all. Talk about it. And this may be a quick thing.
Sure.
Right.
Chocolate
sure.
milk is free in school. Okay. Everybody's happy. Go. Boom. Right. Move on. Exactly. Next thing. Exactly. I get it. But there's no reason to tuck all that bullshit in and have all these little right. hidden special interests.
But then you
bullshit.
Found out. Right. That, then later you find out that the chocolate milk is free. The innocuous thing was backed by the milk industry yeah, exactly, or something. You know? Right. There's always yeah. some well, underlying.
It's the Council for Brown Cows.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Why do they always have to be colored?
God, that's where
don't be racist.
There's a percentage of Americans who believe
hashtag
that.
Thanks, Obama.
That is where chocolate milk comes from. Yep.
The brown council, cows. The council for brown cows.
They are
thanks,
not,
Obama.
They are not Holstein cows.
I heard Obama. No. I heard Obama. Yeah. Owns
Holsteins
it.
Are black and white.
I heard Obama owns Obama, that brown cow thing.
He owns brown cows.
Yeah. I heard.
Well, how now? Brown cow.
Brown cow.
Green eggs and ham.
How the fuck now, brown cow?
How the fuck
well,
now?
That's right.
Not
all
sure.
That's a good note to end on.
I like
yeah,
it.
I think so. I think our thoughtful vulgarity has been done.
Yeah, I think it's been fun. That
brown cow shenanigan was thoughtful enough for
I
me.
I liked
wasn't it.
It?
It certainly was.
I liked it a lot.
Hereford's only, people. We don't like Holsteins.
Jenny, go to PBS. I keep trying to find where you can do it. Not all it's, I can do is a
PBS.org, I'm yeah. pretty sure.
PBS.org.
Well, thanks everybody for being ambitious. In the chat room. It was very busy. Joe D and Jenny thanks. Are still with us. My mom was in there. A Nan was in there. Was Nero
meow
in there?
Cow. Yeah.
Nero.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of
meow
people.
Cow.
Harrison.
Al's asleep. Yep. Harrison. She found out. So
Nero.
Many things happening.
Very busy.
My
very,
gosh.
Very
well,
busy.
We'll all be back next week except Doug, unless somebody's out, and then Doug will be back. So we'll
just,
we never know.
In and out.
Stay tuned. Well, as we wrap up tonight, Joe, let's leave you with this parting thought. Yeah. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Have a good weekend.
Looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me.